Okay, why don't we shoot?
I think he's offset. I've got the slate.
Five, 30 minutes, because we will die in this room of heat exhaustion. Correct?
Mm-hmm.
Correctamundo. I feel a burp coming in me. Can a burp? Oh, God, didn't come. Hang on. Ah, oh, God damn it. Stupid burp.
We will burp now. This is, should we just watch it real quick, the only podcast that will begin with a burp. My name is Dr. Damien Gibson. I didn't go to 114 years of Fletchwin School to be called the Burpler. Thank you very much. And in the blue corner is the Italian Gelden. It is the divine Miss Kelly Festuca. Here she is.
In the theme of the show, mm-hmm. There is a new dog.
Yeah.
And I love her so much, and she's coming over to you. She'll probably press a button and turn it. Do you want to go to Dad? Come on, come to Dad.
There's a new dog in town.
She's scared. Your mic stands in the way. She's like, what the hell is that?
What the fuck is that thing?
You want to stay with Mama?
Listen, okay. It's a microphone. Some people use it to make amazing art, like Bo Burnham. And then there's us, and we make this.
So now here we have introductions. Evie Kringle. Little Evie Kringle, who is a 2.9 kilo toy poodle cross cavalier, mm-hmm. who is a foster dog.
Yes.
Who was abandoned at the pound. Well, she's gone to Dad now. Abandoned at the pound because she has bladder, an issue with her bladder, which means that she leaks urine pretty consistently throughout the day. It's better in the morning.
Yeah.
She's a bit drier in the morning, but right now she's wearing a diaper. So she wears a diaper pretty much for about 18 to 20 hours of a day. I give her a few hours off in the middle of the day for a bit of a breath. We wash her bum every morning and she wears diapers and she's being held by Damien, probably the cutest dog you ever meet.
Oh, well, besides Jim.
Jimmy's on another, he's not even a dog. He's like a cat.
Yeah, he's like the Ryan Gosling of dogs. Yeah.
But this dog is, right at the moment, like legs splayed, tail always wagging with her little tail coming through her diaper. A gorgeous, stinky idiot, and I love her very much. And she's a foster. What are we going to do? And I sound nasally. I've been sick.
You do. You've been sick. There's been a whole bunch of stuff going on. We almost didn't record an episode today. Both of us are feeling a bit blah. And I hate when other podcasters do this, where it's like, oh, it's such a drag to make a podcast.
I'm just aware that I'm breathing through my mouth, and I'm like,
I'm breathing through my mouth. I'm breathing through my mouth. Look at me. I'm breathing through my mouth.
Jimmy, I love you. Where are you?
This podcast is insane. It's literally just two insane people rabbiting on.
Can I tell you, I just finished watching a movie.
Yeah.
And I was talking to our little movie mates, the Knicks, about it.
Hmm.
I watched The Substance with Demi Moore. Demi Moore, the sales assistant said I look like Demi Moore. I thought it was Demi Moore.
I don't know what that's from.
Seinfeld, when she bought the awful dress and they said, she said you look like a Demi Moore. The mirrors, look at the mirrors.
Ah, right.
In the, in Bloomingdale's, Bergdorf, Bloomingdale's, whatever. Mm-hmm. Come on, man, Seinfeld. Get out of my house. Because she got the, Golden Globe for it. And it's so interesting because, like, when she got the Golden Globe, I did really love her when she, acceptance speech, because she was like, I was always told I couldn't be an actress, proper actress. I was always this popcorn thing and blah, 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 blah. Women over 50 roles, blah, blah, blah. Let's be honest, Demi Moore, you don't look like your typical woman who's struggling. to get work because of her looks. Mm. You know what I mean? Like a Demi Moore over like she's like what 59 and she looks 40. Mm. She looks better than me. Like there's 20 years difference. Like she's looks incredible and it's I understand what she's saying and I go good for her, but also the struggle is not real when you look the way you look.
Well,
because the work she's had done is she's incredible.
Yeah.
No?
I don't know. I find like not to – I mean, I know we're on a podcast and so this answer is not great for podcasting, but I find all that stuff really boring. Like, I find people talking about like, oh, roles for people over 50 and blah, blah, blah. Like, I just – I don't know. I think there's much, much bigger and more important things to worry about than –
not worried about it. I'm just stuff. Having a discussion about social.
If someone's gonna, if someone's going to cast a 59-year-old woman, it's going to be Demi Moore because she looks like Demi
Moore. Like she's 40. And I just there's that part of her struggle that I go, you know. But how refreshing it was to watch a movie where the storyline was completely unique and like it wasn't another remake, fucking superhero, cunt, fucking dumb shit, like it was a genuine like, oh, I don't know where this is going to go.
Mm.
Like I had an idea where it was going to go, but I had no idea where it was going to go. And I had no idea how it was going to end, how they're going to make it end. And then the way they developed the story and the characters, I actually was like, this feels 100% perfect and proper. Mm. Like, excellent. It was so – it's like even though it was based off a book, Poor Things, it's like when you watch a movie like that where you go, oh, how fucking refreshing to watch a movie that is not based on something. It's not a remake. It's not superheroes. Like just someone sat down and went, let's write a fucked up script. Like because the story is like a, you know, a normal story, you know. Older woman gets fired and wants to kind of – it's like a Fountain of Youth kind of thing.
Mm.
And the way that they get the Fountain of Youth is a new you comes out of you, right? And you have to like – it's like 7 days each. So 7 days for the older you, 7 days for the newer you. And you have to keep it going. Otherwise, one or the other will suffer. Anyway, it was great, man. And the end, last like half an hour was fucked. It was like Kill Bill fucked. You know what I mean? Like crazy, gory, horror, crazy. But I was fucking on board because like – and it was a lot. Like the last 30 seconds, even that, the last 30 seconds before like of the film, it still had me going, oh, fuck, here we go. Man, what a fucking refreshing fucking film.
Hmm.
That's it?
Oh, that's it.
No, okay.
Yeah, well, that's good. I mean, I don't know. There's just something. I don't know what's going on with me at the moment. I just can't bring myself to watch anything. Everything. This is going to make me sound like I'm clinically depressed when I describe all this. Everything just causes a whole bunch of existential dread in me of like.
Yeah.
I'm already more than halfway through my life and I don't want to waste an hour and a half, 2 hours of watching something if it's bad. So then I avoid it for the fear of something being bad. But then I just end up watching the most milquetoast shit like cricket or football. And like it's fine, but it's nothing. It's not nourishing or anything like that. Me and my mate Ryan were talking about this the other day of like trying to avoid the tyranny of perfection, like in choice. We weren't necessarily talking about films and TV. Like we were actually talking about like in life of, you know, not spending so much time preparing and researching and sort of diving in a little bit more so you actually have the experiences rather than being on your deathbed and remembering just sitting around researching experiences rather than having them. But I was like, that's like watching a movie for me, man. Mm. Like I will sit there in front of my Plex I've got more than like 700 movies on there now from the 1910s all the way up to like the most recent releases, and I don't watch any of them. There's this really weird stage of like atrophy that I have at the moment where I just can't, unless I go to the cinemas with someone. I went and saw Anora with Nick a couple of weeks ago, and that was really interesting. It's the last film I watched. And the last film I watched before that was Kneecap, also with Nick, which was a couple of weeks before that.
Yeah, I think I think what you're kind of describing is, and I know a lot of people that do this, I feel like maybe Seals does this as well, and a lot of other people will relate, is that sometimes you need to just watch something safe. So if I, you know, rewatch, that's why when you rewatch something, and it's actually called something, I can't remember, but I'm sure if you Google it on the TikTok, you'll find it. Mm-hmm. But it's about there's a for people with anxiety and stuff like that. It's actually a safe trauma response mechanism as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you just I rewatch Mad Men, I rewatch Sopranos, I rewatch 30 Rock, shows that I've watched over like through seasons multiple times, because I'd rather, because I know what I'm getting and it's safe. Mm. I know what's coming up, blah, blah, blah. If I'm watching something new, then that's what it is. There's a disappointment, or something sad happens and I'll cry, or the show doesn't become, he's not good anymore, and I'm disappointed. So rather than feeling, you know, up and down, I just can feel normal and myself by rewatching the same stuff that I watch. And that's what you're, I think, describing. I will tell you this, though, with The Substance, which I think that you would appreciate, is that this film used minimal special effects.
Well, I don't hate special effects. I don't like CGI.
Yeah, no, but that's what I mean. Like, there's the actual point when the film where people start, their bodies start changing and their face starts changing. It's all prosthetic. It's all real.
Oh, good. Yeah,
like
practical
eight
effects.
8 hours sitting in the makeup chair, and I think you feel it.
Yeah, I think for like, you know, how much money you save. Like, well, you know, initially when these things were brought into the film industry, it was talking about, oh, saves money and we can do things that we couldn't do otherwise, which bullshit, because you're only, you know, you're only challenged by your own imagination. And like George Lucas talked about this with the prequels, like, oh, we can do so much more now than we could with the original three films. And I don't know if people who listen to this podcast know this. I'm obsessed with Star Wars. So I watch those films all the time. Sometimes, like you were just talking about, that's like my safe space is Star Wars.
Yeah, yeah.
Things like Star Wars, Star Trek, Marvel comics.
Star Trek, so you know, good.
stuff like that. Doctor Who, old Doctor Who episodes, Mystery Science Theater 3000, old pulp films. Anyway, that kind of shit. 80s action films. They look the same. There's nothing going on in the prequels. You know what I mean? Like, people might point to a couple of space battles in the second and third of films, like Attack of the Clones and Revenge of the Sith, that are a bit bigger in scale. But I don't think you're as invested because it's not practical. And the other thing, so like that argument I think is bullshit. And the other thing that you get, I think, as just an audience member, is I think you get better performances from the actors if the shit is practical.
Yeah.
So when Harrison Ford is actually running away from, it might be a paper mache boulder, but when Harrison is running away from that boulder for real, you get that performance from him because he's running and there's something behind him and he can lose himself in that feeling and that scene. Whereas when you, I mean, it's testament to people who, like, if someone is acting, I always think of Ewan McGregor in that prequel series because it's not his best acting performances, but he's the best actor in those films by a country mile. And when you see the behind the scenes stuff, he's literally acting to a guy who's got a giant pair of like Muppet eyeballs on the top of his head. You know what I mean? And McGregor's got to go in there and give these like hyperbolic speeches about, you were the chosen one, you were my brother. But in reality, he's standing on a giant green set talking to a guy with like big weird, googly eyeballs on his
head. You ever seen the Avatar ones where they're dressing the thing?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and it's so weird because, you know, Zoe Sandler, yeah, whatever her name
is. Yeah, I know who you're talking
about. Like incredible actress. He's like, ah, get away from it. Like this massive emotional scene. She's crying and she's like got yellow and white dots all over her face, wearing a onesie suit with all electronics all over her. It's so fucking weird.
Yeah. Or like, you know, the guys in the Lord of the Ring films talking to Andy Serkis in a black bodysuit with tennis balls all over it. You know what I mean? Mm. Like, so there is an element that is, I think, you know, I'm not saying actors were doing terrible jobs in these films. In fact, it's a harder situation, I think, from an acting standpoint, so you've got to give them big ups for it. But I don't think you get as good as scenes because you're not acting against a human or someone dressed as a zombie. You know, yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like, the same reason why things look better when you shoot on location or this, you know, like, you can have as many giant stadiums that have like LED screens and all the stuff that Star Wars and Jon Favreau have developed in Hollywood and stuff now for Mandalorian. You can have all of that. None of it will look as good as the first Star Wars that was shot in Tunisia.
Yeah.
Like it just won't because it's not real. And the human eye, unless you're a boomer and it's fucking AI videos of John Lennon coming back to life, can pick that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, I agree. Watching the Avatar stuff is ridiculous, but I feel like this is good, Ben. I like this one. I know it's a bit gory for you, and that's okay, but I think you'd like it. And in the meantime, mate, if you want something that's calm and beautiful and sweet to watch, Little House on the Prairie, mate. I've been watching Little House on the Prairie, and it is put in my mind in a nice sweet state. It is full of it's sweet and it's wholesome, and sometimes it's like beautiful episodes and it's sad. Mate, it's great. Little House, it's just nice to watch a show where it's not about blood, and I mean not the substance was a movie, but like a TV show where I'm just like, ah, there's no stakes. You know, like there is stakes, but no, like, I don't know.
I did watch a film.
I did.
In this period, I completely forgot about, called The Omega Man, starring Charlton Heston. I watched it on VHS.
My cold dead hands.
There's a scene. So Omega Man, if you don't know, is a remake of the 1950s.
Omega.
1950s film called I Am Legend, which was based on the book called I Am Legend. The 50s version has Vincent Price in it, the 70s version Charlton Heston, and the 90s version had Will Smith in it, obviously. They're all completely different films, and most of them don't really borrow from the book that much. The 50s one did. But anyway, The Omega Man is so far removed from the book, it's not funny. And it's just Charlton Heston basically killing zombies in 1970s LA. Nice. But what's great about the film is Charlton Heston is an insane actor on screen. He just, you know, some people are just movie stars and you can't explain why, because they're not, it's not like Charlton Heston was a particularly great actor. I think he overacted. But there are just, you just want to watch him. There's a scene where someone calls his phone. So he's been on his own for like 7 years. All of a sudden his phone rings. Right. Now, most people would play that scene. When they picked up the phone, they would be like, hello?
Well, here we go.
And he picks up the phone and is like, hello? Like just these huge choices. Who is this? And then there's like, meh, 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 meh. And he's like, who? Like it's not. One of his friends who was a scientist is calling him, called his house to see if he was still alive because he managed to get to a phone and stuff.
So the phones are working.
Yeah, but it doesn't work out well. Yeah, because what has happened is that a virus is essentially, virus has, like, people turned people into zombies.
She's grabbed the sponge again. So a dog just ran in. She grabbed it. She's, look how happy she is. She grabbed it. She, mate, that's why she went all quiet. Puppy ran out of the room, got all quiet because she's been trying to get the sponge. So that's why she took her forever to get it. What a cutie pie.
Yeah, like the world hasn't been attacked or anything like that. It's not, I mean, it's post-apocalyptic, but
yeah.
People have just turned into zombies. So everything's still working because.
But wouldn't the phone man need to make sure that the phones are still on the grid?
Why?
No, but like.
Because they're all landlines, so they're just, like, it just
but
works.
But power lines, you know, zombies knock into power lines and things would fall over.
Why would they knock into power lines?
I mean, I just don't think that the phone lines. Like, the phone lines are dead, would go dead after a few years if no one's maintaining them. People work on stuff.
Well, I don't know, baby.
Well,
maybe
this is the suspension of disbelief I don't have on this film.
Well, okay. I just said there was no suspension of disbelief. That was my whole point.
Listen, I got to
pull. Is that Charlton Heston was.
You're saying that Charlton Heston's not a good actor.
I thought we were doing a movie podcast and I was talking about movies, but
yeah,
that's cool.
Yeah, and I'm pulling your movie apart, you dick, you fucking phenomenal.
I didn't say it was fantastic film. I was talking about how Charlton Heston's performance is
an
fucking mental.
Which is weird because in Wayne's World 2, he is the actor. In Wayne's World 2, they have that little petrol station.
Yeah, he's
scene.
Great.
I'm sorry. Can we please get a better actor? I mean, it's not a big part, but come on.
Yeah, yeah.
Ah, yes, I once knew a girl on Gordon Street, but that was a long time ago when I was a young man. And they're crying. It's beautiful.
Yeah, but even that is over the top. But that's what works on film. Anyway.
Judah Ben-Hur.
Omega Man. You should check it out. It's it's the best version of those three films. The Will Smith one
that.
Is fucking dull and boring.
Will Smith can go.
The Vincent Price one is actually pretty cool, but you know, it's a 50s film, so it's a little melodramatic.
Fucking dumb. I hate Will Smith so much.
I never really got Will Smith as a star. Like, I know this is very easy to say in hindsight, but I never really did. I never did I go, oh, cool, Will Smith.
I liked him. I thought he was a good guy. And then he, like, you know.
There was always something weird. Like, yeah. I don't know, man. There was always something weird about
come on,
him.
Those Diddy tapes. I'm waiting. Come on, Diddy tapes. I want to find out what everyone's been doing. First, it's going to be Will Smith and Jay-Z. Come on, let's go.
Yeah, well, we've all got to get off TikTok because the owner of TikTok just thanked President Trump for a stay of execution.
You know what's
going to
happen.
So.
Trump is going to come in and lift the ban on TikTok to get people on his side because he's going to be like, I believe in free speech.
Yeah.
And then
he'll force them to sell TikTok to fucking Elon or some shit.
And then, it'll be this thing and, man. Because, I mean, I'm pretty surprised. It's interesting that they got rid of TikTok before semi-automatic weapons, isn't it? What a clever country.
Yeah.
Whatever. Yeah. I'm sure that will make some people mad, but listen, I don't give a fuck. Okay? All I'm trying to do is look after dogs that get dumped, all right?
Yeah. Put it this way, when I'm playing Mario Kart, I'm picking Luigi. You know what I'm
saying? Yeah, Luigi! Listen, we better wrap up because I have to blow my nose.
Oh, well, I have to blow myself. So on that note.
Hey! I blew myself, so now I have a rather a mess on my hand. You know, you should probably record yourself sometimes and listen back to it. Arrested Development, A+. All right. Good work,
it's
everybody.
It's not a bad Jason Bateman. Thank you, everyone. Thanks for listening. We love you.
Thanks for listening.
You.
Tell your friends.
Tell
we love
your friends.
You very much.
I love
bye.
Love you. Bye.
Okay,
bye.
Why don't we shoot?
He's offset. I've got the slate.
Thank you.